welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
It's going okay. How's it going for you?
Going all right. Been a bit of an interesting week. We did miss last week. I do always like to address why I was not very well and didn't have a lot of notes, basically. And these things happen from time to time. But we're back this week. We got some semi-decently big things to talk about, but lots of small stories as well. But before we get to those, video games, what of them have you been playing?
Not really a whole lot. Mostly I've been faffing about with 7 Days to Die, just because next week, the 23rd, Furthest Frontier on a Thursday releases its full 1.0 release, going out of early access and into a main game. And the day after that, a tiny little indie game that I've been keeping an eye on, Super Fantasy Kingdom, goes live. And so I know both of those games are going to take up a bunch of my time. I'm actually going to try to screen record a bit of it just to test to see if I can get that to work or not. I haven't really wanted to jump into anything as of yet to, kind of keep my time free for that. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
About it, really.
Yeah. No, not you mean you don't want to start a game and then be in the middle of that and jump to the new things. So sure, we've been there before. All right, well, most of this segment will be mine because I've been playing through Metal Gear Solid Delta, as it's called, the remake. Although remake you can put in the very, very loosest of terms, if loosest is the right word I was even looking for, the very loosest of terms in terms of actually remaking this game. I think I'm near the end. I've just got to the Shagohod tank fight. That's after you fight not Sokolov. What's the guy's name? He's the big guy who puts electricity on. For those of you that know who I'm talking about. So I got to that, did the big warehouse thing, and I believe I'm supposed to be right near the end of the game. I just did the bridge set piece with Eva, and the boss is apparently waiting for me, which the game essentially tells you she's going to be the last person that you're going to be fighting, so I guess we're just sort of waiting to fight each other. I think it's a very good game so far. The main issue I really have with this game is one of the reasons you needed to go back to MGS 1, 2, and 3, because 5 is fantastic, 4 I don't think I've ever actually seen gameplay footage of 4. I don't know what that game actually looks like. It's like a mystery one to me. But that's my own thing. Is you go back to MGS 1, 2, and 3, and you do the modern third-person over-the-shoulder camera. So you modernize the controls, obviously update the graphics, because that's just a standard, remaster, remake thing. The other thing I was hoping the game was going to do, which I, granted, quickly realized it wasn't doing, is update its kind of controls a bit more and give me more of a modern sense of a third person action game, rather than like, it's a very weird combination of like some of the old animations from like the top down view that you get in MGS 1, 2, and 3. Or certainly in, I think it's in 1, 2, and 3. Changing that, but then you've kind of got some of the old animations and old movement stuff stuck in this remake. But the only way this game is really a remake, or even I would use the term remaster more, because from what I understand, the only two things you've actually changed with this game is the modern view. So you can aim over the shoulder, you can still aim down sights and that kind of stuff. And obviously you update the graphics. Aside from that, I think there's like a couple of different things, there's a couple of different control things. So for example, in your left and right menu, it used to be you'd hold down R2 or L2 and then scroll through those so you can, equip your guns and that. And that is now holding the left or right button, and then using the right analog stick. I think you can use the left analog stick as well to scroll through them, so that's a bit different. But it's actually quite strange to me how stuck in the past this game's controls are. Like the story and everything else, I think, is pretty much still the same. It's still the good old stuff that Kojima worked on back in probably 2000 and something, because I think this was a PS2 game, MGS3. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, so MGS1 was PS1, 2 and 3 were both PS2 games, and then 4 was a PS3 game, and then 5 I remember playing on the Xbox PS4 generation. So, and then there's a bunch of other ones like Peace Walker and stuff like that. So
there was a Metal Gear game on the NES, but it was just called Metal Gear.
Yeah, I know there's that one as well. I'm not sure how that one fits in, but I know it's sort of kind of part of the series. I also watched this video yesterday on like the 10 different versions of Snake that there are, and like how Big Boss, not the boss, the character I just mentioned, but Big Boss fits into all of it. Again, it's all very interesting Kojima-isms, as they're called. But one thing that's just genuinely very odd to me, and I've not seen, not that I need a justification for it, but I would like somewhat of an explanation for it, is because I've played plenty of third person, not cover, this isn't really a cover-based shooter, although you will need to take cover a lot. Third person, let's call them cover shooter stealth games, where I'll give you all a weird example of something you can't do in this game, or at least something I haven't figured out how to do and I've tried, is the simple act of you lean up against the wall, you can then tap your hand on the wall to make a noise, which is quite cool. It's the same kind of thing as, like, you know, the whistling mechanic you can have in a stealth game. You tap on the wall and the guard will go, "Hey, what was that?" And they'll come over to you. You can't then grab them from a corner. You have to click yourself out of the cover, hold L1 so you go in the sneaky sort of mode, and then press and hold R2 for the CQC thing. I don't quite get why you can't just pull an enemy out from cover. There's things like that. There's some odd choices with, like, climbing buttons. There's certain ledges where Snake could literally just step up onto certain ledges and he doesn't really do it, and then there's like other ledges connected to it that you have to walk up. You can't run the Snake either, which hasn't really caused me a terrible amount of trouble. So there's things like that, but yeah, it's just I don't know. It's got some stuff in this where I thought, like, okay, well, if this is a remake, which I'm going to assume this is in the realm of a remaster rather than a remake, why didn't you just take, like, if Konami was actually going to do this properly, I would say, and don't get me wrong, I don't think this game is terrible, there's just a few really obvious things that I think that they've missed, is, like, why didn't you just remake this game and look at something, let's say you look at the controls of, like, Tomb Raider, Gears of War, Uncharted, Splinter Cell, Metal Gear Solid 5 itself. What other third-person games have there been recently? Obviously, things like The Last of Us. Where you can do a simple thing like, hey, if an enemy walks around the corner and you're connected to the corner, you can grab them. And hey, if you want to climb up this ledge, you can climb up the ledge, sort of thing. I don't get why they didn't look at modern third-person games like that and just copy and paste the controls into it. I did see some conversation about, and I remember this, in MGS5 you can actually move around quite quickly, and some people said that that wouldn't have fit what this game was trying to do, and while I don't completely understand that, I think the full MGS5 controls would have just been better in this game as opposed to what they did give us. So it's almost like, okay, you added the new camera stuff, which is cool, and you updated the graphics, which is great, but it's like you stopped there for some reason and you just didn't go any further. So yeah, it's a curious kind of weird one. It's almost, I almost want to subtitle name it sort of great game but bad remake, but I don't know if this is supposed to be a remake or just this is a remaster, we're going to add a couple of things like the over the shoulder camera thing and update the controls, and then that's pretty much it. So I don't know, there's still a bunch of other stuff for me to think about when I finish this game and eventually review it and stuff. I'm not actually sure what score I want to give it yet, and I'm right near kind of the end of the game, and I know pretty much what the rest of the game is, but it's one for me to consider many different elements of it and try to give a sort of balanced, as I try to do, give a balanced and honest review of things. So, anyway, what do you think of MGS Delta or what I've said and whatever else?
Well, I think the scenario that you're talking about with the knocking on the wall and the stealthy thing, they might not have had the ability or the time to input new animations for the character.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, they launched and it was buggy as hell. So they probably put all that effort into fixing the literal, you know, laundry list of bugs that we talked about on the podcast a while back.
Yeah.
When the game first launched. It was like 7 or 8 different bugs that would cause a game crash. And so they probably spent all their time on that. So I don't know if they didn't have the time to do it, or equally possible, they didn't have the ability on a skill level of programming to do that. Hard to say, really.
Yeah.
It does sound annoying as hell, but unless it was like a game bug, then nothing we can really do about it.
Yeah. It's just a strange. There's just a few strange things in this game that I didn't really expect there to be. What was I going to say? Yeah, in terms of the glitches and stuff, because I remember you listing them on the podcast and that. The only real, I don't know if you'd even call it a glitch, there was that first area, or one of the first couple of areas where the AI acted really strangely. And then I remember I restarted the whole game anyway because various different reasons. And then that didn't happen after that. Like, the enemies behaved normally and injured me an appropriate amount. So I don't know what that was about. But yeah, I haven't had any crashes or any real glitches or anything. I think I did
have one...
I think it was maybe one patch a couple of hours after I started playing it or something. I think there wasn't one particular patch. There may have been one. There may have been a patch in between when we talked about that and when I played the game, because that was still another, what, week and a half, 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that wouldn't have come up as that. That would have just been fed into whatever update I did when I installed the game anyway. So, but no, from a technical side, I've had a pretty good experience with it. It's just some strange control choices and camera choices and stuff. So, anyway, speaking of, all that stuff. What was I going to say? So the next one I've got to play after that, because I think I've only got probably up to an hour left of the game, maybe. I think it's this Shagahod tank fight. Then I think there's one more section. Then there's the boss who... A character's just told me that the boss is basically like waiting for me in the woods to have a CQC fight, which could have happened 6-7 hours ago when they were having a CQC fight in the woods, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. Battlefield 6 after that? I do have it at the moment. I do have it installed, ready to go. It's funny because I put the disc in, obviously, to install it and that, and... It came up with, like, and I'm glad it did do this. It was just, I didn't expect it. It came up, and you know when a game actually says, like, hey, there's some options as to what you can install first and all that sort of thing. And I basically clicked on everything that said single player, because there was all, like, the, not the packs in the way that COD does its installs, but it was, like, single player and multiplayer, then this and that, and I just clicked on everything that was single player. So I don't think that campaign is too long. So I'm going to play that afterwards and then get queued up for probably both Little Nightmares 3 and Ghost of Iote. Whichever one gets sent first, basically. So those are my next couple of games.
Now, did you ever get that login issue fixed? Or
no, I didn't. They never. It was weird because the two emails I got from them were the, hey, ticket is open now, which was like 4 days after, which is, I've never experienced a ticket be that late. And then an email after the podcast after that saying, can you give us feedback on the support? So I don't recall actually getting an email saying, hey, this is the issue, such and such and whatever. So no, I never actually did get that sorted, but I don't know. I don't know how much of the multiplayer I plan on playing, but I do want to at least do the single player campaign and see what's up with that. So, it's weird. It's weird how you give me two emails, which is like, yeah, we've received your thing. You know, up to 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever, we'll get back to 4 days after I sent the first email. And then, like, the feedback and, like, hey, what did you think of our service? It's like, well, you haven't really given me any service.
As someone who works a job that sends in hardware for manufacturer service a lot, trust me, 95% of those emails are automated.
Oh yeah. No, that wasn't like it just does that, but so yeah, very strange. Maybe I should go back to the feedback email and put one star and be like, you never sent me another email. So
I'll just put in no resolution was offered.
yeah, because no email was received. So
Well, they'll
yeah.
ignore anything that says, oh, I didn't get an email, because they'll just assume that, it went into your spam folder or whatever. But if you say no resolution offered, then they'll take a look at that and they're like, did we not send anything on how to fix that?
Yeah, might got lost, I suppose. Anyway, that's all the stuff we've been playing. Little random side thing. I have actually finally charged my wireless mouse, so I'm going to be able to use that. Not that I'm going to be that active with it in this podcast. I've not got much scrolling to do, but yeah, it took the micro USB charge thing, and because we got into so much of an era of USB-C, this mouse doesn't actually take that. So I've got my Ethernet cable thing plugged in, my mic plugged in, and it's because it's on a USB-C, which I have the only slot for. So I've actually got it turned on and used at the moment. I should have done that weeks ago, but you know, life and whatnot. So anyway, that's all the stuff we've been playing. Let's move into some housekeeping and then we'll see if there's some news. But let's get into some housekeeping first. See if that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, a mostly full schedule last week, and it will be a pretty full schedule this week. Yesterday, I did a podcast on Hear Me Roar, which is for Yellow Jackets. The third season finished, obviously, months ago, but we finally got a renewal for season four, which was also months ago. But they said this week that the show will be ending with its upcoming fourth season. There was originally plans for five seasons, so there would have been two more, but due to probably various reasons and whatnot, of which I speculated of on the podcast, we're only going to get one more season, which is still nice. It's still nice that the show just didn't get, outright cancelled. But yes, Yellow Jackets is returning next year, actually. It's not a 2 year wait, which we're kind of used to in this day and age. Sometimes 3 years of waiting, when it comes to things like, what's that, like Wednesday and Stranger Things and stuff? They've taken like 3 years. It feels like I haven't seen a Stranger Things episode for about 10 years, honestly. But that's coming back soon. But anyway, Yellow Jackets will actually be back next year with its fourth and final season. So I talked all about that over on Hear Me Roar. Some TV coverage for last week. Of course, we had the almost penultimate episode for Gen V. The actual penultimate episode is going to be this week. So this was the one before that. And then the season finale will already be next week. That's up to season 2, episode 6. So that's that episode. Probably by the time you hear this podcast, episode 7 will be out, and I'll be covering that tomorrow. So that'll be interesting leading into the finale next week. So look out for all of that. Over on Becoming Heisenberg, of course, we're still covering Breaking Bad rewatch. We're up to season 4, episode 5. We will have a delay on the podcast this week for various different reasons. It will either be on Thursday. If it's not on Thursday, I will chat to David about a certain thing that's going on. If not, we may move that to next week. But it's not like we can fall behind on the show because, you know, it finished 11 years ago. No, 12 years ago. But that's up to season 4, episode 5. We may or may not cover episode 6 this week. So if you don't see... if it gets to like Friday or so and there's no new episode, that means we'll be back next week with that. But that's just a heads up for that. And of course, we've got last week's Breaking Bad that we also did, some Gen V stuff. Of course, on the last gaming talk, which was from 2 weeks ago, we talked about Sony's State of Play, mainly the reveal of Wolverine and all that good stuff. And then we talked about some Lord of the Rings things. With the Hogwarts Legacy S game potentially in development. And we talked about some money floating around in the region of $55 billion involving Saudi and EA and a very lucrative deal. Over at the United Castle, which will be back this weekend, by the way, we recently lost 3-1 to Brentford. We then beat Sunderland 2-0 at home, and we faced Liverpool away this weekend. And the question once again is asked... because we won our last game, can Ruben Amorim, as a Manchester United manager, finally get his first back-to-back Premier League wins? Because he still has not done that yet. We will see what happens. Liverpool themselves aren't in great form. It's a derby, so it could turn into a basketball game for all we know. We'll see what happens on Sunday when we go to Anfield, which we've not won at since 2016 in the league. So we'll see how that goes. Over on some video game reviews, of course, recently did a hard skip rating review for Baby Steps. I saw some of the later stages of that game, by the way. My goodness, some of those stages are just... you fall off of something like that and you lose like 5 hours of progress. It's got to be pretty bad. So anyway, I recently reviewed that. And then that's what we'll be doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. Alright, let's get into some news. We've got Bluepoint, which is up first. There's been a lot of talk about them for a while. I think the last game they put out was the remake. And when I say remake in this sense, I do mean remake more than MGS Delta. But a full remake, if you remember, of Demon's Souls, which I believe was a launch title for the PlayStation 5 back in 2020, amidst all the COVID stuff that was going on. They've been obviously working on something since. There's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumours as to what exactly that could be. I believe I took 2 screenshots for this. No, I did not. Just the one. So it says here, Bluepoint Games is now hiring for a third-person melee action game. Now, there was a rumour attached to this. If you remember, gosh, probably 2-3 months ago maybe even longer than that, after the fall of... not after Concord fell, because that was a year ago. But there was reports after that. There was a list of, if you remember, I think it was like 17 games, the 17 live service games that Sony had put in development. Not all of them had been announced, and there was things like, obviously, Concord was on there. You had things like Helldivers 2. You had The Last of Us Online, which was cancelled. You had the Horizon game, which we don't know if that is or isn't actually in development. There was the God of War one, which we were both rightly sort of confused about that. Like, a Horizon one makes sense, but God of War doesn't quite make sense. And then there was... then there was a bunch of other ones, maybe like a Gran Turismo game or something. There were 17 in there, so there was probably some ones that we don't remember about. So the rumor that was attached to this is that what Bluepoint Games were doing is that God of War live service game. At least that was what was... That was more of like the rumored part of this news. And then the part of this news that actually came out is that Bluepoint is now hiring for a third-person melee action game. So yeah, I guess we could speculate on like what this could be in terms of, you know, so it would be obviously one of Sony's library of games which they would be going and remaking, because they are actually, yeah, they're part of the Sony family, aren't they? So that they wouldn't be working on any like third party games. I mean, third person, obviously there's the joke with Sony about, you know, the only games you make are third person games, which they're very good at, so you know. But a melee game specifically, I think the one thing this mainly points to, and obviously there's been rumors, there's been three different sets of rumors about God of War, or I guess four, because there was there so the four rumors that were surrounding God of War was, okay, the live service thing, which apparently has been cancelled, which makes sense to me. I don't know how you would work that or how that would go. I'd be curious to know what the idea was, but in terms of actually playing or seeing that game, I wasn't really bothered. As many of you know, I'm not the biggest God of War fan. It's all right, but I just, you know, wasn't in love with it. The other rumors was the 2.5D God of War game. If you remember, we had like some Prince of Persia ones, some Assassin's Creed ones. I think they did some of those in the last couple of years. And then there was this, is it the Egyptian Gods? Like, which would be a more like sequel game to Ragnarok, not in terms of the Norse mythology, but for Kratos to switch over to Egyptian gods and go and, I assume, fight slash deal with those. And then the other rumor was going back and remastering the trilogy of these games. I did see a tiny little rumor as well floating around, so I guess you could add five to this. There's got to be something of God of War in development if all this is going around, of some sort of spin-off Atreus game, because that, I'm not going to spoil God of War Ragnarok, but that would also be possible as well. So out of those five, I think some of them are possible. I don't think you'll see the God of War live service game. I just don't think. I'd be curious for like diehard God of War fans, because you know there's people that cosplay as Kratos, and you know they're really in love with the God of War games. And if you are, cool, great. I'm not gonna, you know, try and take that away from you. If you like God of War, then cool, you like God of War. What the interest level from those sorts of people would be? My main question with the live service one is like, what would you do necessarily in the game? Because I remember when we sat on that podcast looking at the list of 17, and things like, you know, Last of Us Online made sense because you'd already done that, and this was going to be a bigger version. Obviously, Concord, we've been there, done that, and talked about all that. Helldivers 2 came out and was successful, and has been pretty much the only successful one. Horizon would make sense in a way because it could be like you play in a group of, you know, hunters, and you would take down like a big robots together. That would make sense. But God of War is so story driven oriented anyway that I'm not sure what the idea of that would have actually been, but obviously we can speculate to the hills and back or whatever about that. What I think this is actually for out of all those five rumors, I think this is probably for the remaster of the original games. I know there was like God of War Ascension, God of War, other ones as well, but there was like the main 1 through 3 trilogy. I think some of them you can stream through the PS3 streaming thing, which no one likes or wants. But I think what would make sense after the success of 2018 and Ragnarok is before you probably then move on to the Egyptian thing, because I think that is real as well. Before you move on to that, you go back and you keep the appetite for that up, and you remaster the original games. And I'd be actually, as somebody who didn't really click with 2018 and Ragnarok, I do kind of want to know more about, I almost said Thanos. Why do I almost say Thanos? Kratos's past and stuff, because I don't know a lot about what happened in those stories. So I would be genuinely curious to play the remaster for those games. And I think what you're going to end up doing is you take the newer gameplay style of 2018 and Ragnarok, and I'm not going to say you just plop it into the, because obviously it's not as easy as that. You would convert it into those three games. But I think out of all five of those, again, I guess you can say four, because again, live service, I don't think that's happening. I don't think the 2.5D one is happening. I think the Egyptian one is, but I think that's going to be another couple of years. I think in the next year or two, I'd be surprised if you didn't hear about the remaster of the original trilogy. And I think because Bluepoint is essentially PlayStation's like remake studio. I think if you go back and remake those games and you put the third person melee combat in, that would make sense to me. And then maybe a couple of years after that, Santa Monica Studios or whatever they're called, I think they then finally reveal Kratos' next game, which I think would be the Egyptian stuff. I think you might get the Atreus game eventually, because that could be like one of them, you know, like the Miles Morales game, the sort of smaller titles that you can have. I think that fits more into that, or maybe even just an actual DLC for Ragnarok or something. Anyway, I know there's a lot of stuff there that I kind of listed with the five games, but what do you think? Maybe you think Bluepoint's doing something else. What do you think Bluepoint's actually doing, and do you think it's any of these five choices or something else?
I think if it's any of those five choices, the most likely one would be the OG God of War remake. Problem is that they'd have to cut a lot of that out of it, and then that would piss off the fans, and then nobody would buy it.
What would you have to cut out?
And well, there's a lot of sex, both direct and implied, in the first, especially in the first game, and everybody's so losing their shit over things like that, that they wouldn't, they would yank it out. And before you say, oh no, they probably wouldn't do that, Amazon is now the license holder for most of the old James Bond games. Not the games, the movies.
Yeah, the rights
Fear,
got
yeah, they have
sold,
the rights to
moved,
the movies
whatever, yeah.
now. And they released a bunch of posters with the OG Bonds, Connery, Moore, people like that. But they photoshopped all the guns out of the posters. And you're also going to sit there and tell me that, yeah, they're going to leave in a three-way sex scene QTE in God of War. No, that ain't going to happen. And to be fair, the sex isn't on the screen. The way that scene works is that the bed headboard is thumping up against the wall really loud. And you hear a chick, you hear two chicks moaning in the background. And every time you do a QTE event, a vase on the nightstand next to the table, next to the bed, scoots to the side a little bit. And when you quote unquote finish, the vase falls over and breaks. Yeah, they're not going to let that in. Especially with all the bull crap that they're going through now with payment processors and adult games. And people getting, flags thrown up trying to use utility software because they're not 18 yet in Europe. That would never make it in.
So you think that's what Bluepoint is doing?
It's the most likely.
What do you think of the other four options?
Possible, but they wouldn't really need to bring in a third person melee combat person. To do the next God of War games in Egypt because they would just get whoever did it for Ragnarok.
Because some people are pointing out Bloodborne as well, which is I know you can shoot the gun to do the I have played some Bloodborne to do the carrot and stuff, so it's not really a shooter game. It could be that maybe. I mean, they did do Demon's Souls, so Bloodborne wouldn't be out the realm of possibility. And fans of rightfully, I guess, been crying out for more Bloodborne because it's been 10 years. It's funny how some people do moan at Sony for that, but it's not. I don't think that game's owned by Sony. I know it's exclusive to PlayStation, but that is a From Software game, and Sony doesn't own From Software. Whether it's a case of, I don't know if Sony owns like the IP to Bloodborne. And then fans have moaned because they haven't like either done, Bloodborne 2 or remaster or anything, which I do feel sorry for those fans because, they should have something for their series. I mean, 10 years is a long time to wait for something like that. But I don't know if that's sort of like, oh, Sony can wake up one day and announce that, or if it's I'm not sure what the deal is between Sony saying yes and From Software saying yes or something else. I don't know if Sony can also go over to From Software and say, hey, we've got Bluepoint. Do you mind if they remake, Bloodborne for PS5? I don't know what the options actually are. Unlike with let's say God of War, which is entirely down to Sony because they own God of War there. So like, if something that's completely in-house and you want to own a studio for that, or, you know, company for that, then that's fair enough. But I don't know if Sony's the one who can solely kind of green light a Bloodborne remake. But yeah, that was another one that people talked about. I don't know if Dark Souls would make. I know they've had like a couple of weird remasters which people have said weren't like great and all that, but some of those are sort of stuck on the PS3 and stuff. But yeah, I think I'd probably go with God of War mainly here, and then if, depending on what the rules, licenses are on Bloodborne, it could be that as well. So, I have to see. Got another, speaking of remasters, remakes, and whatever, which we're in the era of, it says here, Rockstar Games is reportedly preparing to reveal new Red Dead Redemption 2 versions after the game's description was recently updated on multiple stories. I'm going to assume this is like, you know, the social media stories that you can read from people when you click on them at the top of a thing. It would make sense to me that you do this for both. I mean, I think there was a port on PlayStation 4 for the, because these were the 360 PS3 games, the Red Dead 1. Red Dead 2 obviously was on the next gen, but I think you can go on a PS4 and buy a port of Red Dead 1. I think it's for Undead Nightmares as well, but you're talking, you know, do a full remake, give it the Red Dead 2 treatment. But then I suppose here, if you're looking at Red Dead 2, which is still a fantastic, fantastic game, and you would consider it, you know, I mean, it's coming up to 10 years. It was, what, 2018, I want to say? Red Dead 2, which, God, that feels like a long time ago. 2018, because, yeah, it came out the same year as Ragnarok, and I think, sorry, God of War 2018, and then God of War won the Game of the Year. I mean, this would be interesting to see how that would be timed with GTA 6. I suppose you could do this as like a January drop. I could maybe see this being something maybe announced at like the Game Awards as a small kind of thing, and then get either shadow dropped right there, or although, yeah, Rockstar don't really go to like the Game Awards and stuff, do they? They pretty much just do everything by themselves. I'm imagining like you could do that in and around the end of the year and sort of drop it maybe January something. Either for Red, I don't know if they're planning on doing that for Red Dead 1 or just Red Dead 2. But usually, yeah, you hear about like descriptions of stuff getting updated, and then some of these things turn out to be true. So you can follow this more under rumor mill if you want to, but then of course by the time, if GTA 6 does actually come out in May, because no one knows if it actually is or not yet, I suppose, obviously you're going to want all the attention to be on that at that point. So what do you think? Do you think we'll get updated, let's call them updated versions, I guess PS5 versions of both Red Dead 2, or just Red Dead 2 and 1, or what do you think might happen here?
Well, with Red Dead 1, I think you can still buy it now on the Xbox store, so I don't know about PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5. I think it would have to be updated for the PS5, because I know for Xbox, they would just do an update, and it's part of their backwards compatibility.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Now you could probably get that through, yeah, backwards compatibility with the 360 stuff, so that would make sense. It says here about putting on Switch 2 as well, because the image I've got here says coming soon, PS5, Series X, and then Switch 2. Obviously, I think it's maybe a bit of a fan-made poster here, but I think it makes sense to do it for both, whether you could do it sort of a la carte, you buy one or the other, or you buy both as a bundle or something. I assume this would come with the Undead Nightmare thing as well. So
yeah, because they did like a collector's edition or a gold edition or something like that, where it had all the DLC and Undead Nightmare.
Yeah. So, before we get onto this interesting game sales list, just going to have a bit of fun with this for a second. So, I mentioned things a couple of weeks ago, maybe not on the last show, maybe on the one before, that Sony put out these videos And it was this was where there was these screenshots of Ashley Johnson, Hayley Gross, and a few other Naughty Dog people. And it was Ashley in mocap and all this other kind of stuff. I know I've talked about this before, but I finally went and watched the actual videos, which took me way longer than what it should have to do. And I think it was about 4 or 5 videos. And they're all on, like, the Sony YouTube channel, so they're not on, like, I don't know if The Last of Us has got a YouTube channel or, I know Naughty Dog does, but Sony does as well. Sony has, like, you know, other technology stuff on there. And the basic gist of these videos, they're all very short, it's about 5 or 6 minutes in total for about 4 or 5 videos, is Halle, Ashley, and Neil, there's a bit of Gustavo, who's the composer, talking about, you know, various different things. And it's all 4 of them talking separately about, you know, the creative process and bringing the game to life and then adapting it for the little bits and pieces for that. And then there's Neil talking about Gustavo with the music and how it fits in with different narrative bits and all this other kind of stuff. And then there's these bits in one of the videos where Ashley, who obviously plays Ellie in The Last of Us, and she's been in obviously many, many other games as well. And this is new footage of Ashley. This isn't like, oh, they took the documentary stuff from Last of Us 2 or like old footage of Ashley in the suit, because she looks obviously, you know, 5 years older and also looks very different. Halle doesn't actually look that much different, but Ashley did, so you could tell it was new. But it was strange timing with this, because so Last of Us Season 2's come and gone. Like, that finished, what, June, end of June, I want to say, 7 weeks from April 13th. There's no current, like, apart from Last of Us Season 3, which isn't going to be out till 2027, and yes, there's, like, different casting stuff out there for Lev, but that's a bit quiet at the moment. That's sort of, obviously, they're doing filming in April. I don't know why they're going to take all the way till April to do filming, but anyway. There's probably, you know, new locations and stuff like that set up. Anyway, so the TV stuff's quiet at the moment. They're sort of quietly working in the background, I imagine, writing things, sorting things out, getting sets ready, you know, contracts and, well, not contracts, you know, sorting that sort of stuff out. Season 2 came and went ages ago. There's no Last of Us 3 on the immediate horizon. There's no sort of, like, other remaster thing coming out for Part 2. I know Last of Us Day's already kind of come and gone for all that. So, like, as much as I love, you know, listening to these people talk about these games and bringing them to life with, you know, from script to screen sort of thing, there was a little emphasis on that, and, like, coming up with narrative stuff and all those sorts of bits of discussion, it was just strange timing that, okay, why are you putting this out now? And there wasn't even, you know how you'll see a company put out a video for a product, and at the end of the video it'd be like, hey, such and such is out now, stream it now, such and such is out now, go and play it now on the PlayStation Store. There wasn't even that in there, so it didn't even come up with, like, yeah, this is for Last of Us, go and play it on the PlayStation Store, or watch the show on, you know, HBO, because they'd be partnered with Sony. There was nothing like that there. So again, as interesting it was as it was to hear about all this stuff, some of which you've heard about before because there's been dozens of interviews, A, why are you doing this now? And B, why did you put, unless again it was for something else, why is Ashley Johnson now, for this, and for the actual mocap stuff for the video, which is about a minute, she's in the mocap for about 15 seconds on screen. And then you see her in the booth thing, you know, where they're surrounded by like 15,000 cameras or something. It's like an angle thing that they do for whatever that is. I can't remember what it's for. And she's like sitting in that, talking about, you know, bringing the character to life and all this sort of thing. Again, all this is great, all this is really cool, but I just wonder what the point or the purpose was, because there's nothing sort of immediate for Last of Us coming out, probably nothing for the rest of the year, which again is fine. What will probably happen next is we'll get a Season 3 trailer next year, probably in September on Last of Us Day. Then Season 3 will probably come out the following year in 2027, and then we'll go from there. And then Intergalactic will come out, and then we'll see what Naughty Dog does afterwards. But because I know you could look at a video like this and be like, oh, it's just a normal PR chit chat thing of, hey, yeah, we made this story, it's really cool, you know, those kind of videos. But it would have actually made more sense if you put this out when, like, season 2 was coming out or something. Yeah, because there's new, like, it would have actually made more sense if when you cut to the Ashley and Hallie on set, that you may as well have just used old footage of Ashley and Hallie. And I remember seeing some stuff in the comments about, like, oh yeah, sure, you'd suit Ashley up in full mocap just for this, which that's kind of one of the points of it, is like, okay, as much as it doesn't quite make sense that you'd randomly post this now when there's not really anything going on for the game or the show, like, right now, what's with the new Ashley mocap stuff? I know we talked about this a little bit, but I finally went and actually watched the videos, and it sort of made less sense. Again, the Ashley stuff could be, okay, it's her just doing stuff for a different game, but yeah, because it's kind of two questions, which is, okay, why did you post this now, and why are you filming Ashley in a new mocap suit? So, I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, what do you think is maybe the answer to the two different questions? Did you mute?
Honestly, for both questions, I don't really have an answer, just because I'm not in that world and game space all that much. So I wouldn't really be able to answer with any kind of background on it.
Yeah. Again, there was other videos on Sony's channel of, like, you know, cameras and things like that. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that, I suppose, at some point. Let's move on to my last piece of news, which is, I found this chart online for game sales. Now, it's got this in, there's no actual amounts or numbers listed, but it's just got 1 to 20 ranked, and it says it's ranked it by dollars and then ranked it by units. I'm going to guess some of these have got, you know, microtransaction stuff, or there was a sale for the game at some of these games at some point, so it added up to different dollar amounts. I feel like I should go from 20 to 1. That would make maybe more sense. So let's read out what this is actually for. It says all-time US top 20 best-selling PlayStation games. It says physical and full game digital for publishers in the digital leader panel. It says reporting period January 1995 to July 2025. So keep that in mind. So for dollar amounts, so this is not for, like, unit sold, this is for dollar amounts. I'm not gonna, like, give commentary on each one. I'm just gonna list them and then we can go through. So for dollar amount, so this is for that, from 20 to 1. Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Miles Morales Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I think that's the original, because then it says Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 2023, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Call of Duty World War 2, Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Marvel Spider-Man, which is probably the original PS4 version, Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Minecraft, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, that's the newer version, Red Dead Redemption 2, so we're up to third spot now, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, so it's the 2019 version, and the number one is Grand Theft Auto 5, to probably nobody's surprise. And you could, spoiler for the next list, you're going to see Call of Duty's name on there a couple of times as well. It's fascinating to me in terms of, like, every year these games come out, Call of Duty games come out every year, and they have done regularly since 2007. And for at least the last, like, 5 years worth of releases, there's been some problem on day one that's just, like, never got fixed, or that's gone away, then a new problem's come in, or something like that. And, of course, within the last couple of years, Call of Duty's had the piss taken out of it because of, you know, the Beavis and Butthead skins, or the Nicki Minaj skins, or all of these, like, colourful, Fortnite-esque, almost, things like for skins and stuff that people just keep buying. I know there were some comments recently made from the Battlefield team about, like, no, we're going to keep ours, like, you know, grounded in, you know, warfare stuff, which makes sense. Kind of taking a few jabs at Call of Duty, which makes sense. Because, like, I think with Black Ops 6, you can get, like, American Dad. You can get the Beavis and Butthead thing. There was, like, a pumpkin Halloween thing you can get. There was, obviously, the Nicki Minaj one was quite a while ago, actually. And then there was a few other ones as well. I think Ghostface was one at one point. I can't quite remember. That might be a different thing. But long story short, when it comes to Call of Duty, we're all still spending a lot of money on these games, because it's not only the fact of what every single year this game, and they come out in November pretty much every year, or like October, November every year, and every single year this series is in the top five sales of games, and every single year people keep moaning about them. The same thing happens with FIFA as well. I'm surprised there was no FIFA game in there, actually, to be honest. But maybe COD has just trumped that so much that it took those out of the list. Yeah, any thoughts on the dollar list there?
The dollar list, I'm not shocked that GTA 5 was number one, because version, those shark cards, they sold tons of them. I am kind of shocked that Fortnite isn't on there with all the money they make on the skins. And I honestly would have thought that Minecraft would have been higher, just because it's been out for a billion years.
Yeah. So that's the dollars one. So units is, so just for units sold, again, we'll go from 20 to 1. Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Call of Duty World War 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Rainbow Six Siege, Call of Duty Black Ops, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, God of War 2018, The Last of Us 1, Miles Morales Spider-Man, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the newer version, GTA Vice City, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Call of Duty Black Ops 3, Marvel Spider-Man, which is almost in the same spot, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019, so the newer Modern Warfare game, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Red Dead Redemption 2, Minecraft, so that's in the number 2 spot here, and then the same for number 1, which is Grand Theft Auto 5, which I think that's probably at 200 million units, because the last time I read a number, or we talked about that on the show, it was either 190 or 195 units, sorry, not 100, 195 million units. Not 195. That would be a very low amount sold on that. So it's probably gone past 200 million units at this point. So that makes a lot of sense as well. Again, COD dominating this list. So in the dollars one, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 11 out of the 20 games in the dollars are COD games, and then in the 20 list for units, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 9. So basically half each for both lists. Again, I guess it helps that the series comes out every year, so there's more opportunity to buy it. I'm a little bit surprised there's not that there isn't more FIFA games, or any FIFA games on this list, because those make a lot of money. But
or any sports games.
Yeah.
You know, no NBA, no NFL, no MLB.
Yeah, so I can't remember. So Last of Us is on here. That's at number 13 on units sold. That wouldn't really make sense to be in here for dollars sold, because there isn't really any. I can't remember if factions had microtransactions, because apart from that, you can't really, other than buying the game, you can't really spend money on it per se.
Yeah, I mean, there was DLC for the first one, but I don't know that the second one had DLC.
Yeah. I think that was only like very, very cheap. So plus, if you got the 2014 PS4 remaster that had Left Behind with it, so that would minimize those numbers a little bit. But yeah, what I'm saying with that is, like, with Last of Us 1, because when the 2013 and 2014 versions came out, And they had factions on both of them, but I don't think that you can buy stuff like, you know, weapons or whatever else there would be. I mean, you're talking back in 2013, 2014, so the industry was a little bit different then. Because I think the last numbers I heard for Last of Us 2 was 10 million units, but that was like 2 or 3 years ago. And then obviously you got the numbers get diluted there a little bit because you've got remasters of both games anyway. So, but that's up there. Obviously, it is one of PlayStation's biggest exclusives. But then you've got Spider-Man on there. That makes a lot of sense. God of War 2018 makes a lot of sense. And then yeah, 9 COD games on one list and 11 on the other list. So, but it's good to see a few other things like Red Dead Redemption on here. Rainbow Six Siege kind of randomly on here as well. So what do you think of the units list here?
Yeah, the units list is more of a decent breakdown in terms of, yeah, half of it's, shooters, but you get more different games in there. Like you got RPGs and you got action adventure games, so you get a little bit more diversity in the game list.
Yeah. So, it's important to remember it does say PlayStation games here, so I don't think this is counting like Xbox and other stuff. So,
Well, that would explain why Minecraft isn't as high as it should have been.
true, true. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so what I've got for this week's news and stuff. What do you want to talk about?
Well, first off, we're going to circle back to Battlefield 6 because it l did launch, obviously, on the 10th last week and had a huge, huge launch. It peaked initially at just under and under 750,000 concurrent on Steam.
Wow.
Right now it's floating just under 360,000 on Steam. Obviously, it launched really high, and then as time went along, it was up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. But yeah, last 24 hours, it peaked at 700, sorry, 475K. It's reviewing okay on Steam. I mean, it's not, blowing the doors off, but it doesn't suck. They got 76,000 reviews in, and it's sitting at 75.6, which is fair. And then obviously they EA wants, will when the numbers are that good, they will announce it. So EA did announce that they launched with 6.5 million units sold in the first 3 days. 350 million gross revenue, according to the article I'm reading on it. Obviously, those are their numbers, but if you look at the Steam concurrent on launch, you can believe those numbers. It's not like they're saying, oh, we sold 10 million units, and you look at the Steam concurrent and it was 10,000. You're like, are you sure about that? But with nearly, three quarters of a million at launch, I could believe 6.5 million in 3 days.
Yeah, those are all very, very good numbers, which is great. I think in terms of the reviews and stuff, that might be overlapped a little bit with the because there is a single player campaign. So you do have the two elements of, okay, how good's the multiplayer, but also how good's the single player as well. Because you could have a bit of both of some people have only done one or the other, but not both. I did see with the single player campaign that it's a little bit like, safe and a bit of paint by numbers. I mean, I don't need to, you know, go into my Battlefield and expect, you know, Shakespearean stuff with deep human themes in that. I suspect it will be a decently told war story, so we'll see kind of what that's like. I also don't know if it's like a sequel, reboot to anything else that's come before. I don't know if it's like connected in any way or if it's like a new thing. I'll find that out when I play the campaign. I saw that I think IGN gave it like a 6 or something, which surprised they didn't give it a 7 because they gave everything a 7. And they kind of said similar thing. It's sort of not bad, but it's just not exciting and it's not sort of, you know, doing anything impressive. But I'm gonna see what that's like, and if it's, you know, short, sweet, and to the point, if it is about, you know, 5 or 6 hours, then I can get through it swiftly and it won't, you know, I'd kind of rather, if it's going to be something a bit more simple, let's say, I'd rather it not be, you know, doesn't need to be 15, 20 hours. We've gone into a bit of a weird era of people thinking that, okay, if you, let's say you pay $70 for a game and that game is like 12 hours, like a 12-hour story, that like diminishes it. Because I remember, it's a bit of a random example, but I remember when Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart came out, and it is a game that you can do in, you know, 12 to 15 hours, and it launched at, I think, $70. And I remember some people at the time were saying, you know, hey, the game's not really, like, you know, long enough, therefore it's sort of worth less. But if it tells you the story it wants to tell you, and it, you know, does it in a good pace, and it doesn't need to stick around for longer, then I'd rather you do that than just try to fill up a game with things that don't need to be in there. Great example again is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I keep bringing up as an example. Is like, okay, I know that that's obviously, that's a bit of a different example, because when you step into a game like that, you know it's going to be a, you know, 50 to 90 hour RPG that you're spending a lot of time in. But then, even with a long game, you don't need to pad certain things out. So, and, you know, almost block your own path to storytelling. Such a weird experience that one was. Like, you don't need to do that. But yeah, like, if Battlefield 6's story doesn't, you know, waste your time, and it tells you the simple, maybe simple story that it's going to, and then it goes, cool, there's your sort of 6 hours of story. We told you the story we wanted to tell, and it's good. Then that would be great. I mean, to be fair, when it does come to games like COD and Battlefield and things like that, while there is, especially with COD, because there's like certain iconic characters, you know, Soap and Price and all those sorts of people. And while people do come along to see what those characters get up to, the main thing you're going to be spending the next portion of time on the game with is the multiplayer, which obviously you can sink thousands of hours into, you know, round after round after round. So we'll see. I'll see what it's like when I go and play it. Anyway, what do you think of Battlefield's reception so far?
Yeah, I think it's definitely good. I think, 75 is a fair review for a game like this because it's kind of like the sports games that come out annually. Unless something is functionally broken, it's pretty much going to be like all the other games that have come out before it, with slightly better this or that. So it didn't have anything new or revolutionary. But EA is definitely not just yeeting it out to the universe and then forgetting about it. Season 1 launches October 8, 28th rather, which is also the day that the game's rumored Battle Royale mode will launch.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Season 1 Phase 2 Rogue Ops comes out on November 18th, followed by Winter of blah, 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 I can't talk. Winter of Offensive December 9th for Phase 3. All three updates will have new maps, modes, and guns. But what I find unbelievably hilarious as a troll is that people are already using the map editor and they're making COD maps for Battlefield 6.
I'll be
And I'm
curious to
just
see that.
waiting for somebody to make a near one-to-one replica of Nuketown and launch it out because I think the meltdown will be hilarious.
That'd be good. Yeah, it's a cool idea. And as well, just a further comment on this game in that way. To me, the goal of this game was, okay, you don't need to reinvent the wheel with this necessarily, because Battlefield has been in such a weird, you know, Battlefield 2042 missed the mark, and it came out in a terrible state, and it was like, right, what do we do now? And then there was the rumor about the hero shooter, and all the fans were like, no, that's not what we want. And then they went, okay, we won't do that, we'll go back to classes like people want, which is great. I think this is less about sort of, can Battlefield reinvent the wheel and do something new that nobody's done before? And okay, can we just put out a new foundation and a you know, basic Battlefield game just to get the series back on track? And then of course you can add things in seasonal updates anyway. So I think it's sometimes it's okay to play, you know, safe in that kind of way, and just rather than trying too hard to do something crazy and new, you just need to if you need to do the thing in terms of getting back on track, then do something like that. It's a bit like you'll hear in this week's Geek Time Radio, I was talking about Invasion. Now, one of the interesting things with Invasion is, so it comes out with season one, and it was this like, okay, you've got six, seven, or eight different characters, they're in different parts of the world, so it tells its story that way. And then you've got, okay, aliens are invading Earth. It's nice and simple, it's not anything, it doesn't start off anything crazy, and it's sort of, okay, let's see which of these characters can survive it, how will they develop, what will they do. Starts off nice and kind of basic, and then builds on its lore and sort of, okay, why are the aliens here, where did they come from, what's, you know, the purpose and stuff. And season one is fantastic, and then season two gets into this thing where it's sort of, you're trying too hard to be a bit too like hard sci-fi and be a bit too complicated, and you're sort of you're losing the track that you're on because you're trying too hard. And it's not that you can't try harder, it's just you try to like accelerate it a bit too much. And then season three comes back, and I'm in the middle of season three at the moment, it's coming out, and it does the thing of the get back on track, which is, okay, get back to these characters and like, you know, continue developing them and pushing them forward, but instead of trying too hard with the sci-fi stuff, just go a bit more back to basic. And it's really served it really well. So I think that's what Battlefield is sort of trying to do here, and I don't mind that. I think that's good. And we'll just have to see where it goes. So, because, yeah, I think this, with different products, if you sort of try something a bit too off the wall or complicated or something that doesn't work, and it sort of makes something fall flat on its face, then, yeah, just kind of go back to basics. So, anyway, what else did you want to talk about today?
Well, next up we have the Golden Joysticks Awards. And if there's one award that I have less respect for than the Game Awards, it's the Joystick Awards. So I'm not going to go bother going through all of them. I just wanted to read the PC Game of the Year and the Console Game of the Year. And I want you to pay attention to two things. What is in there, and more importantly, what isn't in there.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So for PC Game of the Year, we've got Hollow Knight Silksong, The Alters, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Peak, Ambiotic Factor, and Dune Awakening. For Console Game of the Year, we have Donkey Kong Bonanza, Monster Hunter Wilds, Ghost of Yotei, Death Stranding 2, Sonic Racing, and Mario Kart World. So first off, on both of those lists, what is the very notable game that is not on there?
Expedition 33.
Exactly. You're telling me Ghost of Yotei, which had been out one day when they released this list, makes it onto this bullshit list, but Expedition 33 doesn't. And then on the PC side, which could have easily had Expedition 33.
It came out on PC, but you've right? Got,
yeah? Yeah, oh, it went wild on PC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just kind of, yeah. Anyway.
But you've got Dune Awakening and Ambiotic Factor, which I've never heard of that game. And I keep pretty well versed in at least the existence of PC games. Like, I don't play shooters, but when you talk about shooters, you're just like, yeah, I know that. It comes out this day. It had this issue or whatever. So I keep on top of that. But yeah, that list is bullshit.
Not having Expedition in there is wild.
On either one.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was listening to you read them out, and I was like, is it going to be the next one? Is it going to be the next one? And then you just didn't say it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really strange. And look, it's not everybody's like clear game of the year, but to not have it in there as a nomination is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird. Because at the moment, it's my... apart from South of Midnight, which I also really, really enjoyed as well, at the moment, Expedition 33 is my game of the year. So
yeah, if Silksong wins game of the year, I have no problem with that. I wound up eventually uninstalling the game, but that's a me thing. That's me not being good at these precision platform combat games. You know, you die 17 different times in 17 different locations in an area where you can't keep enough money to buy the map to even see where you go pick up all the stuff you dropped. You know, that gets frustrating to the point where you don't want to play the game anymore. But, you know, the people that are longtime fans of the podcast, and you know me, I am always very self-aware about it. This is 100% a me thing. It has nothing to do with the game. I did power through Expedition 33, even though I wasn't great at the parry dodge, but at least I had the option to parry or dodge, because dodge gives you more time, but then you don't get the counterattacks. The only way counterattacks I ever got was jump, because you get a big flashing icon, you jump, and then you get a big flashing
I like
icon
that one.
to counterattack in the middle of the jump. And that's the only one I ever consistently got. But yeah, the fact that I didn't make either of those lists is just why I have no respect for the list itself.
Yeah, that's
At a bare
really.
minimum, you could take Ambiotic Factor off the PC and put it in there, or the Alters, which I've never heard of.
One sec. I'm just looking on their thing. It's got so I don't know where it's listed actually on here. So, 2024. No, I don't want to know about that. Jump to 2025 categories. Best console game of the year. It won't let me actually click on it. I don't know what's going on with that. All right. Let me go back. Oh, yeah, there's a Reddit thread on it. So I'm just looking around at some information on it. Yeah, it's got the same ones you just said. Hollow Knight, Alters. That's weird to now that I've got the list in front of me. It's weird to look at that and not the Expedition Idle one. Yeah, whether it's fan or public, it should still be on both anyway. So that's weird. If I was, what are they called? Is it Sandfall? Yeah, that made the game.
Sandfall Interactive.
I would be. Like, not to do it in an egotistical way, but I would be looking at that and being like, huh? What? Did you see if they had any music or soundtrack
Oh
nominations?
yeah, they were in the music, they were in the
Oh, thank God.
Studio of the Year. They were in a lot of things. Ben Starr got technically not lead, but what it's
Supporting.
like the assistant lead, but it's not technically assistant lead.
Supporting,
Supporting
yeah.
actor, thank you. Brain no work. Yeah, he got supporting actor. But the whole list is just like everywhere you would expect it, outside of Game of the Year, it was in there. Like for music, soundtrack, new studio of the year, all that stuff. It's there where you would expect it, just not in the big ones.
I'm just still sitting there confused. I don't really know what to do about that.
Well, there's nothing to
Yeah,
do about that.
I know,
They're
but
allowed to
still.
make their game of the year list, and I'm allowed to clown on them for it.
Yeah, I just didn't think I would see that. So, there you go. All right, what else you want to talk about?
Well, Microsoft has not had a good couple 3 weeks. They announced all the massive changes with Game Pass, and I don't want to go into that because that is, at a minimum, that is a 1 hour discussion. For the people that haven't seen in like all the nitty gritty details, I honestly would just recommend get on YouTube or whatever and look up your favorite content creator that does talk about that. Because, like I said, we could spend an hour talking about everything. The big one is what's causing most people to cancel their Game Pass subscription. Well, it's two parts. It's one, the Ultimate going from $20 to $30 is a big part of it. But then Ultimate is the only tier that gets day one releases. Same. Like you could have the mid tier, but you're not getting that day one Game Pass game.
Yeah, they did do that. Yeah, I saw a lot, like you said, I saw a lot of videos on the price increase thing, and it's bizarre. I'm sort of glad I'm not subscribed to it at this particular moment. I think, when did I play South of Midnight? Was it like in the summer or something? I'm gonna say it was about 2 months ago, maybe something like that, right? Because I played that, and then I played Expedition after that, didn't I? Because I was weirdly late to Expedition. Because what was it? Expedition was April, wasn't it? I think, and that was when I was in the middle of my like Naughty Dog project thing. So, but yeah, I think that was when I was last subbed to that, and because obviously I had to get the day one thing as well, and then tried a couple of other games. Remember, I did try. Is it Avowed, which has like disappeared for some people that no one's really talking about that, and I just kind of didn't click with that. Then I played South Midnight fully, finished that, and then I played, oh yeah, that was when I played Rematch, that new football game, because that was on, I think that was on the Game Pass as well. That was when I discovered that, so that was great. I do want to actually buy that game and back into it, get back into it, because I did really enjoy it. People just needed to learn to pass more and not be, the greedy sort of, I'm going to take all the glory kind of thing. But yeah, I'm just glad I'm not subscribed to it now, because that pricing is absurd. So.
Yeah, and the website to cancel it actually crashed on the day those announcements were made. But the recent thing is all the rumors ramping up that Microsoft is going to get out of the hardware business. As reported by YouTuber and former IGN editor Destin Legarry, Costco, which is a big warehouse store, one of the biggest ones in the US, along with Sam's Club. They are no longer going to carry Xbox consoles. There's a photo floating around showing them at a heavily discounted price. It actually had it at $380. And this is after they jacked up the price of all their consoles for the second time this year. And then there's rumors that the two biggest retailers in America that aren't warehouse stores, Target and Walmart, might be halting sales of the consoles as well. Microsoft came out officially and clarified the target topic and said they are not halting the sales of consoles and games. And that's one of those things that, in terms of no longer getting into hardware, I can honestly see both sides of the argument. I mean, on some level, Microsoft is always going to have to be fiddling around with hardware for the PC end. Because you got Windows, you got to do drivers, you got to do compatibility, things like that. And you got accessories that you got to go back and forth with on it. And they got to know what the new stuff is doing so that they can tweak their OS to do it. So on some level, I can see the hardware staying. And on the same time, I can see them tapping out because hardware has always been a loss leader. They don't, when especially when it launches, they don't make a profit on it. Like those $1,000 ROG Ally X handhelds that are coming out, if they made more than $5 after all is said and done per unit, I would be shocked. Because I know, and this is the truth with most all of the consoles, is that they sell it at a loss to sell the exclusive games. Well, the exclusive games aren't really a thing much anymore. So why sell the hardware at a loss when you can just sell the software for a profit?
It's also things like subscriptions as well.
Yeah. And it's not like Microsoft hasn't shut things down before. They had their own cell phone. They got rid of that. They had their own streaming service to try to compete with Twitch. They got rid of that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like they don't have a history of spending a lot of money on things and then getting rid of it. So I can, it's one of those things I can honestly see either way. And until I see an official announcement from Xbox and not like a rumor mill thing, then I'll just say, like, I can see both sides of the argument.
I saw some images and stuff and information floating around about this, and I was like, okay, that's really weird. Obviously, this was within days of the Game Pass stuff. It all just came out at once, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
And then people were
Bad couple of weeks for Microsoft.
obviously freaking out in the way that they do on the internet, sometimes over tiny things and sometimes actually over understandable stuff. I don't personally see them getting out of the selling Xboxes thing. I mean, they are kind of, you could say that they're currently losing to PlayStation, but then Nintendo is the one that's kind of winning it at the end of the day somehow, even though they have a terrible console and whatever else, with the crappy Joy-Cons, but whatever. But yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting to see right now, because we're kind of, let's say, 2 to 4 years maybe away from the next set of consoles, which would be a PlayStation 6. And there was some stuff floating around about PlayStation 6 is going to enter production or something like that in 2027. And I remember we speculated about that before, and I said 2029 sounds a bit more likely to me. 7 just sounds a bit too close, but I don't actually know when they're going to come out. It would be interesting, let's say right now, if, because the position they're in is kind of, Game Pass, Game Pass, Game Pass, everything's on Game Pass. Obviously there's the price stuff there, and they have kind of cared less about the console stuff. Obviously they do have games, selling on PC. They have the Game Pass stuff on PC. They of course have all the other stuff that you mentioned as well. Like Xbox isn't their primary thing. It'll be interesting to see if, like, let's say next year or something, Phil Spencer left and they got a new person in. Now that's not me saying he has to go or he should go. I'm just saying, okay, if right now in this position that Xbox is in, where it's sort of like Phil absolutely corrected and healed and fixed that ship from obviously where Xbox was. Like it was in a, the Don Matrick stuff and whatever. He came in and he absolutely rescued the situation, and he deserves big credit for that. But I do think it's maybe at a point, and I've spoken about this a little bit before, that you got the Don Matrick era, which is where things kind of sank, and the sort of always online, and the, you must have Kinect plugged in, but then you didn't have to have it in, and then all the, sports and TV stuff and whatever else. Although I still kind of maintain from that, by the way, that even though, and I mean, I haven't watched it for ages, but I remember a lot of people in the years after said about how bad that presentation was. I actually liked the idea of what the actual all-in-one Xbox was supposed to do, and the sort of, you say, connect, switch to this, switch to that. I did actually really like the idea, but it just never kind of kicked off, and then sometimes Kinect wouldn't hear you, and then there's the whole, Kinect games wouldn't work, and that kind of fell away. Because I remember it was interesting at the time when they mentioned, like, oh, instead of switching HDMI ports to go to your, Freeview bot or your box and then to your other thing, you can just tell your Xbox to do the thing. And I remember the few times I was playing an Xbox game and said, hey, watch TV or switch to Netflix, and it would do it. And I actually quite liked it for doing that. And it's interesting when you look at that presentation as well, that because it's, Xbox and games are supposed to be first. And I remember when they showed it off, and they showed it in a way of, okay, here's what this Xbox can do, and it was all about the Kinect and TV and sports and whatever else. And it didn't really show the games, which was kind of people's problem with it. And then they said, okay, there's a showcase later where we're going to show off more games, and they showed, Rise and Killer Instinct and everybody else, and it was pretty great. But because that era didn't work, then Phil has come in and corrected the ship, and Game Pass has been great, and all that sort of thing. I think it's maybe now a case of, maybe Phil has done And I still think I don't have like a problem with him. I don't think he's doing a bad job. I just wonder if it's time for like the next person to come along. I'm not saying he has to leave Xbox or Microsoft, but just him go to maybe a different position and have somebody else do what he's doing, and then that to guide them into their kind of next era. I think is maybe what should happen next. So.
Yeah, something that I totally forgot, but got reminded of recently is, you know where he worked before he joined Microsoft in 2007?
Who you talking about? Dometric?
Don Matrick, yeah.
I can't remember. Where was it?
He was president of EA Worldwide Studios.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, no, I remembered he like was somewhere similar before. I just didn't remember it was that. So,
Yep.
yeah. Anyway, what do you think of like Phil's position and things like that?
I think there's a lot of things that they know about that he's got in the fire, so to speak, and he can't talk about a lot of it, 'cause you can always tell when he can't say something, 'cause when he dances around this question or that question, it's very obvious. I mean, it's one of those things I'd love to play poker against him, because he looks so bad at bluffing. But outside of that, then I don't envy his position, because I got a feeling a lot of that stuff, it's by committee. It's like, I don't think he personally said, raise the price of Ultimate by 50% in the US. I think the numbers people came to him and said this, 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 and this, and we want this. And whether or not he was able to fight against that or not is hard to tell.
That's the thing, even for some leaders, like he's obviously the what is his title? Is it the president of Xbox or head of
President
Xbox?
of Xbox, yeah.
Yeah. That Microsoft is still above him. Like it's not as if Xbox is, an indie company. They're owned by somebody else who's a big corporate company. So and there's probably a lot of people in, the different finance positions that are telling him you need to do certain stuff. So I got, 'cause I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh yeah, it's Phil's fault that Game Pass is becoming more expensive. It's not like he woke up one morning and decided to do that. There's probably loads of information as to why that's happened and whatnot. So we'll have to see. All right, is there anything else you want to talk about with this?
Yeah, I got one last thing, and I
Okay.
always try to like to end on a high note, and we also get to talk about Expedition 33 again.
Yeah.
Sandfall Interactive, a couple days ago, put out a thing on their social media saying that they had passed 5 million in sales across all platforms, and I'm not knocking that. 5 million is a lot. Honestly, I thought it would have been higher,
Deserves
as
more.
much hype as that game got. But 5 million is nothing to sneeze at. There's a lot of games released this year that's never going to get anywhere near
Oh yeah.
5 million. But Sandfall, in part of that announcement, gave us some updates on the game itself. First off, when the next update comes out, there will be new location with new enemies. The update also brings new localization for the supported 19 languages, and the new languages are Czech, Ukrainian, Latin America Spanish, Turkish, Vietnamese, Thai, and Indonesian. They're also hinting at the possibility of a photo mode, which a lot of
Oh,
people wanted on.
nice.
And they also teased that they are working on a new game. Now, whether it's in the same universe as Expedition 33, it's kind of hard to tell. Regardless of which ending you picked, both are possible for a
Oh, yeah.
sequel.
Yeah.
It would just affect on who's in the game. And I'm still not going to spoil it, because I want people to experience that,
Oh, yeah.
fresh. But in the cutscenes between the second act and the third act, they talk about a war between painters and writers. And that's the kind of thing that you could do tons of games on and have tons of plot points and stories for your game and keep it in that universe. And that's kind of the thing that I would like to see personally, just because I'm like, okay, these are two artists, but they're fighting each other for some reason. So just that as a concept, I am really kind of curious about.
First of all, congratulations to Sandfall for everything they've achieved so far, and I look forward, hopefully, to seeing them lift Game of the Year at the Game Awards, because unfortunately they're not going to be doing that at the Joystick Awards. But hopefully they, because I don't know what else could really get it, or should, or whatever. We've had that discussion before. But yeah, congratulations to them for that. It deserves way more sales. I think more people should experience this game, because 99% of people who I've even heard talk about this game have loved it. And that's actually a lot rarer than we think. If you think about it these days, there's always usually at least a small crowd of people that don't like something, whether it's for
And I
justifiable
was,
or unjustifiable reasons. You know, it's what, whatever. Was there a reason to say?
yeah, and when I was talking to somebody else about that, and this was right before you got the game, and then you got it, and you were loving it, and I told them I was really afraid I overhyped this game, like it wouldn't live up to the amount of praise that I was given. And you're like, "Oh my God, this game is so fucking awesome," and I'm like, "Woo!" And yes.
I weirdly think, I know this doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to make sense. I think you almost undersold it, which I don't know how you did that, but yeah, if you were to say to me, like, from the hype that you gave for it and how that matched up with my expectations of it, you like almost somehow undersold it, which is wild.
Yeah.
But
And well, I think part of that is because the one thing game-wise you and I have in common is that we love a story that sucks you in.
oh yeah.
And this story sucks you in, but because especially from the jump, there's so much emotion in the story
Oh yeah.
that I can't tell you anybody about the story because then that spoils the emotion. And that actually happened with my friend that I was talking to the game about. She didn't really have the big reaction that most people had when you end Act One and go to Act Two, but that's because from the dialogue, she kind of figured out that it was going to be a big thing, and so she didn't spoil it. She didn't get it spoiled. It just, yeah, you're not shocked because they've been kind of setting this thing up really well, and she was like lasered in on that. It's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's still shocking, but it didn't come out of left field for her.
But no, it deserves all the praise it's getting and all the sales and everything else. And yeah, good on them again for, you know, not everybody puts out free updates. So that's just really a nice thing of them to do. And I just hope that they're on that stage in December holding that award, because I mean, okay,
They
I
deserve it.
let's just say, for example, let's say if okay, what, let's say just from my point of view, like, okay, I'm not expecting Battlefield 6 to be better. Little Nightmares 3, I'm very interested in, because I do love the first two. I think this third one's a bit different. Could that be better? I don't think so currently. Ghost of Yote, I don't know yet. I think those are like the other two big games for the year, pretty much. But yeah, because again, I absolutely love Self of Midnight, but I would still put Expedition above it currently.
Yeah, no spoilers, but I did see a spoiler review for Yote because I don't care and I know I'm not going to play it. Story, underwhelming in my opinion. Not original at all. I'll leave you to discover it, and then once you finish it, if you beat it, then we can talk about it. But and this isn't an undersell, an oversell. This is straight up my opinion. I was watching the view. And this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I'm like, yeah, I've only seen that a half a dozen times before.
But we'll see what that's like. What was the other thing I was going to say about this game? Expedition, I mean. I listen to the music of it like all the time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the music's gone nuts on Spotify.
Yeah. So
my favorite thing is every now and then a composer will pop up in my YouTube feed. It's like first reaction to the song, and I'm you know, head first into that, because then you get the more technical side of, okay, this happens with this instrument, this vocal is doing this thing, and so you just learn more about how talented that lead actress is, the lead singer is, and how talented the composer is. And the fact that he was 25 when he started writing all those songs
Damn.
Is just wild to really think about.
I wonder when we will get our the Game Awards announcements. I can't remember.
It's December when it comes out, so probably either by the end of the month or the start of November, because we're already halfway through October, which, what the hell?
When did that happen? Yeah, I don't. It was October 1st a second ago, and now it's, I don't know. It's going to be Christmas.
It was May a second ago.
It's Christmas tomorrow, so, you know.
Although, speaking of it's Christmas tomorrow, I did see something really funny. Somebody had their Christmas tree up, and they just put a bed sheet on it and made it a ghost with the lighting underneath it. And I'm like, that's low-key brilliant.
Nice. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what the 506, like the Game Award, Game of the Year announcements are going to be for that. Because I'm also expecting, you know, Jennifer English, whether it's Charlie Cox or Ben Starr, and then maybe whoever the person was that played Lune.
I would love to see Andy Serkis win it for voice.
Yeah.
Just because he brought so much reality to Gollum. And he hasn't really had that big thing since then, although he has done a ton of stuff. For him to win that would be awesome. I don't see it happening, but I would love it to.
Yeah. I'd be a bit, again, no shade to the guy, but if Norman Reedus wins that, I'm going to have questions.
If Norman Reedus win it, it's because it's a Kojima game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the What's-His-Nuts is in love with Kojima. Mm. Always has been, always will be.
Yeah. But yeah, no shade at Norman and everything. I've obviously watched him play Daryl for over 10 years and that, but he just doesn't get to stretch his legs as Sam. It's weird because, like, every character around Sam does. Especially whoever plays, what's her name? The one that can jump around. And then Elle Fanning plays somebody else. They're both, like, more expressive and everything. I can't remember who plays, what the hell's the character's name? The one with the umbrella who can jump around and stuff. She's, like, the second main character.
I haven't played the game, so I don't know.
Anyway, maybe it'll come to me by the end of the podcast.
What I didn't realize until recently is that now, technically, Norman Reedus is part of the MCU. He was in the second Blade movie.
Oh. Okay. Cool. Nice.
And that's, of the three, I mean, I would definitely watch the one, because you get to really see how good of a martial artist Wesley Snipes is. And two was directed by Guillermo del Toro. Oh. And I will recommend anything that man comes out with. It's actually his take on Frankenstein is coming out really soon. And I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Watch the trailer if you haven't seen the trailer. You're like, yep, this is 100%. A Del Toro movie, and I want popcorn.
Nice. Fragile was the name I was thinking of. For that Death Stranding character. All right, let's move on from all that to last bit, which is the feedback for the show. Of course, if you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments about anything we talked about, was you also waiting for Robert to say Expedition 33 when he was reading out the list? Because I was. Have you played the game? Let us know if you have. If you haven't, then go start it. And please enjoy yourself, because it's incredible. And then listen to my review afterwards. So, anyway, anything else you've been playing? Any random questions you want to pose? Anything like that? MatthewAtEntertainmentTalk.org. Social media is eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk. And there's information in your show notes. Abed, speaking of Expedition 33, says, what do you both think your reaction will be if Expedition 33 doesn't win Game of the Year? So, not even just a nomination. It will depend to me if it's... Okay, so let's say it doesn't win it. Is it Death Stranding 2 or is it something else? Because if it's Death Stranding 2, I think we'll both have the same reaction. And if it's something else, I'm curious as to what that thing would be. If it's something like, you know, Silksong, which I've heard a lot of good stuff about, then fair enough. If it is somehow South of Midnight, which I don't think that's going to actually get nominated, then I would be happy with that. But there's a three option thing, which is either A, it's the sort of to me obvious option, it is Expedition 33, B, it's Death Stranding 2, which I think also other people would pick up on and be like, okay, right, you know, Kojima connections and whatnot, and then three is, okay, if it's not one of them two, I'm not completely sure what the other one would be. Maybe something like Kingdom Come 2 picks it up, but, anyway, what do you think of that?
Yeah, we actually just talked about that like literally 5 minutes ago. If it's, it would depend on who wins it. If it's Silksong, I'm totally cool with that.
Mm.
If it's Death Stranding 2, it's no different than when you're at a football game and yell that the ref has been paid off. Only this time, the judges have been paid off. I could definitely see Kingdom Come 2. Get it just because it's so heavy in the story, especially with the history in the area. They try to keep that as historically accurate as possible. And again, it would just depend on what's nominated. I don't see any game beating it for soundtrack. Not a chance in hell for anything they put up.
I mean, if it wins nothing, then I'll be stunned.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, you could put up the latest Taylor Swift album in soundtrack, and I'd still bet on Expedition 33.
Yeah, but at least for like music or something. So let's switch these two around because I want to end on a nice question. Josh says, do you think Wolverine could be too much like a Spider-Man clone? Maybe, but... I don't know if this will sound strange, although if you want to see strange opinions, go on Reddit or Twitter. More so Twitter. Because maybe Spider-Man's so much more zippy than Wolverine. Because Wolverine can't, like, obviously doesn't shoot webs or anything like that. I know Wolverine can sort of jump and stuff, but I don't think you're going to see sort of... I don't think Wolverine can, like, zip around in the same way Spider-Man can. I think... In terms of things maybe like ledge perching and stealth takedowns, there might be some DNA. I think it maybe be more of a case of there'll be some of the Spider-Man DNA in there, but it being a clone, I don't think you can quite do that. Whereas if you look at, let's say, something we talked about recently at the First Light, the James Bond game, that could slide more into an Uncharted / Hitman clone, because all three of those characters, first of all, they're all human, and can all kind of operate the same way, you know, cover, shoot, bang, whatever. It's just dependent on, you know, style and the options that you actually have. But I hope it's more of a case of, and we won't know till what, another year, it's what, fall of 2026, right? I hope it's maybe more of a case of the DNA of, okay, we made a Marvel superhero game, and now we're making another Marvel superhero game. I mean, if you're doing something like Iron Man, that would be very, very, very different. Or you were doing something like a Doctor Strange or something. Someone who can have, like, you know, projectiles flying around all over the screen, as opposed to... Okay, Spider-Man's got his gadgets, he can shoot little, you know, web gadgets and things like that. And Wolverine, as far as I know, just has his claws. And yeah, he is mobile. He can move around, but I don't think he can like zip around as quickly as Wolverine. So I think you'll see similar gameplay DNA, which I don't think see as a problem per se. But I don't think you can do it as a clone quite so much. What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely in terms of the combat, it would definitely be influenced by either Spider-Man or even the Arkham Knight games. I think either fighting combat mechanics would work very well. I could kind of see a pseudo zipping around if he was in like a forest area and just ping-ponging ninja style between this tree and that tree.
Mm.
I could see that a little bit. But yeah, I'm more concerned about the story more than anything else because of who's been involved in the story. I'm really worried they're going to give us just slop.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see. I'm just curious also to see what other X-Men characters are in there. So apart from Mystique.
Well, we know Jean Grey's in there. So
do we?
There were some leaked photos.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
I'm assuming that was Jean Grey. Didn't look a thing like her, but when they came out with the doesn't look a whole lot like Mystique, but it's supposed to be Mystique, then I'd be like, yeah, it's probably Jean Grey.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's like how they changed the visuals from Mary Jane Watson between 1 and 2 in Spider-Man and how radical that difference was. The Jean Grey images at least kind of look like the second one and not the first one.
Could be an Insomniac thing. I don't know. And the last one we have is from Beth, who says, what could Nintendo do to pull you both back in? She does have a random question as well, so we'll get to that next. To be honest, not much, and it's not their fault, really. I mean, the number one thing you'd have to do is make a better console with a much, much better controller. That's number one. But it's also just, okay, let's say you did that, and then, okay, Matt, do you want let's say it's a Switch 3 or something, or a remodeled Switch 2, and it's got a much better controller with analog sticks that are actually good, and a console which is better as well, and you also get rid of some of the Nintendo nonsense and all that sort of thing. It's also just sort of, okay, I've played some Mario games, I've played some Zelda games, I've played some Donkey Kong games. Some of them are good, some of them are right, some of them are quite missable to me, but I just, apart from Metroid, because I really did love Metroid Dread, I thought that was a great game, they just don't have a lot else in their library that really pulls me in, and I wouldn't need, you know, a Switch to play third-party games, because I already have an Xbox and a PlayStation, plus it's again already the fact that it's like the same thing with streaming services, like you don't need all of them at the same time. The same thing with consoles, like I look at what I can play on my Xbox, what I can play on my PlayStation, and I have more than enough options. I just don't feel like I need to be in Nintendo's library. So unless it was a radical change of, again, just new console, new controller, I don't even need it necessarily to be a portable thing, because that's not really an option for me quite so much anymore. Because I'm not in the car as much, like with the family, and I obviously don't take buses as much as I used to because I have the scooter. So that's kind of changed as well. But it's also like, I don't know, come out with some different Mario, because Mario and Zelda are interesting to me, but there's just not a lot with their games that kind of pulled me in majorly. But to new IP, I suppose, then would be the case. So, but then I would really only use it for that, because I wouldn't get it for like FIFA or any COD games or any Battlefield games. Again, any and all third party games wouldn't be bought on it unless there was like a sale for something or something like that. So yeah, that's, I don't know. So that's what they would have to do, I suppose. What about you? What could Nintendo do to pull you back in?
Honestly, there's nothing they could do, because all the things that I would want them to do, they would never do. First and foremost, stop copyright strike DCMAing content creators that stream or do reviews on their games.
Mm-hmm.
Cut that shit out, but nope, they love suing people. To update the EULA to where if something fucks up, you gotta go through Nintendo's mediation. You can't actually sue them. Take that out of there. That'll never happen. Three, stop breaking consoles because people have, or they suspect people are modding it. They can't even prove it. They're just like, we think you're modded. Your console is now worthless. Stop doing that shit. They ain't gonna do that. They're gonna just keep doing this because they can. And there's not a single IP that's exclusive to Nintendo that I would want to play anymore. Even like all the old school stuff is coming to PC. I mean, the old Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 games are coming out for PC. If I was even going to buy a new handheld, I'd probably get a Steam Deck just because so many of the double A indie games I play could easily be played on a Steam Deck. And I got a decent enough PC now. I do need to do a hardware update at some point, but it's not mission critical. It's more for when I want to play the newer-ish games that require more. I can still play 99% of my library on my PC, and the one game I can't play is because when it was made to require Java, which hasn't been supported in a decade, and there's nobody that'll update the game to get rid of that. So it's basically a game I own that I can't play anymore.
So yeah, quite a lot of stuff. Since on to my random question, why did Matt not get an e-bike, and should I get one that's fast but also be careful? I don't know actually. I remember when something changed with a couple of the days at work, and Dad couldn't take us, and we ended up getting the bus, and then that was like, there was a bus stop that was near the place I work, and I was like, okay, how do we get to that? And it was three buses, and it was a little bit not great, let's say. And then I was like, okay, there's got to be some other sort of solution, whether it's, because driving wasn't an immediate option, driving myself. And then one day I just saw this person on an e-scooter, and I pointed it out to both my parents, and I was like, what's up with that kind of thing? Like, I somehow hadn't seen one before. I was like vaguely aware of them. And like, yeah, it's just a scooter that you just press the throttle of, and rather than, pushing and pushing, it just sort of takes off. And then I started watching loads of videos, obviously went down that whole rabbit hole. Really liked what I saw. Convenient, easy, cheap. And then I got one, and haven't really looked back since. Well, why I didn't get an e-bike? I don't know. I get, like, if that person had been riding an e-bike instead of a scooter, I might have gotten a bike instead. It might have just been that simple. I think e-bikes are a little bit more problematic with certain stuff, and let's just say the law, I think, have their eyes a bit more on bikes than on scooters. But the only difference it would really make is, okay, I'd be sitting down, I'd have two bigger tires instead of two small ones. And I'd be able to go probably a bit faster, but I don't know that that's something that I need. Plus, e-bikes are also a lot more expensive than, especially the basic models. They're more expensive over here than e-scooters. Like e-scooter, you can get a nicely decent e-scooter for like £200, which is quite good. But again, it's a case of, I mean, you would know with car maintenance and stuff, with getting into all that. With a scooter, it's okay, you use it, you charge it, there's no like MOT stuff, there's no monthly payments for anything, unless you're paying it off monthly, but there's no monthly payments for anything. You basically just buy it, obviously buy some accessories, lights and helmets and things like that, but those are all one-off payments, and then you're good to go. Just be very careful, and then when it comes to police or anything, I genuinely do get off the road when I see one, because they are apparently allowed to take them off of me. Although I've been past, in the year that I've had this thing, I've gone past six or seven police cars, and they have not bothered with me at all. So I don't know, but I don't know why that is. But it is what it is. That's basically my answer. But I would be curious to try an e-bike. It would probably feel very different. But It would, I guess it would almost be like a moped, but in a bike form, because it's a bicycle, but it's electrical. So, yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts on this, Robert?
Like, given a choice, I wouldn't take either of them, and that's not knocking on either the scooter or the e-bike. It's just that the roads here are so garbage that I
Yeah.
wouldn't trust. Because I, when we had Teresa, aka Game Mistress, on the podcast, we somehow went down a tangent of potholes, and I started showing you some of the potholes from around my area. And you were just like, damn.
Was that before I had the
I
scooter?
mean,
I think it was, right?
yeah.
I think
It's like,
so.
well, I have a photo that I sent that shows the a car about the size of a Mini Cooper about halfway up the tires in a pothole. Because it was so big, it actually had about a foot on each side. It's actually so bad that for cars, you can buy supplemental insurance to cover tire and axle damage from potholes. And people have hit potholes and just cracked an axle in half.
Jesus.
So, in terms of my own personal physical safety, I honestly wouldn't do either. If I had to pick, I would probably pick the e-bike, just because I'm not a small guy. I'm 6 foot, 180 pounds. So, slalom stance, 1 foot in front of the other, doesn't really fit my frame to where I can be a little bit more down and out in Beverly Hills with how I'm sitting on an e-bike.
Right. I get what you mean. Yeah. There are some potholes I've gone past where I'm like, geez, I'm glad I missed that one kind of thing. There was a couple like near the close roundabout near my house, that were like really, and then one day they kind of just disappeared. I guess they actually did get filled in. So, drains are also annoying as well, by the way. There's this path that I go, it's more on the way home from work rather than to work, and it's like kind of a thin path. So sometimes I just kind of slow right down over them and let the cars keep going past me. Because if I, the problem you have then, because I'm sticking to the left side of the road and there's cars coming past me in a thinner lane, if I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna dip out to the right for a second to go around that, a car could easily hit me. So it's like I have to be careful around that. But they're not so nice either, the old drains, and you can't really move them or do anything about them, so
Yeah,
yeah.
and where I live, there's a lot of conventions that bring in a lot of people. And so the scooters go nuts downtown where I work, and it's not uncommon to see a pack of like seven or eight of them just zipping along. Oh, red light, I don't care. Zoom right through that.
I don't get that. Like, you're just putting yourself in danger through a red light. Like, yeah, that's why it's there. Same thing with pedestrians. That's why you get given a green and a red light, because, hey, as cars coming, you shouldn't cross the road. Okay, red light. Now you can go
The
past.
building I work in has a cop on security because it's a medical building, so there's like medical information, so HIPAA laws apply, so they have security. And I joked at him one day, it's like, if I ever was a cop and had to make quota, I would just stand on that corner right there and tag every person either running the red light or making that right turn on the red light, which is right by a sign that says no turn on red. And he actually pulls out his ticket book. He's like, go ahead. And I'm like, yeah, felony conviction for impersonating a police officer. That'll look good on my resume. And we both kind of had a laugh about it.
Yeah. Right, there we go. That's the podcast for this week. That's all we've. Did I go through all these? Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I did. So, cool. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening, Robert. Thank you for joining me once again. We'll be back next week with, actually, more video game stuff. I should have finished Delta by the next podcast. Maybe I'll have another social media review. It may even be a case that. Because I don't know how much thinking I'm going to have to do about that game. Because I already have, obviously, certain opinions. But Yeah, it'll be dealt with at some point, I suppose. Anyway, if you like what you've heard today and you want to hear more stuff, you can head over to entertainmenttalk.org or the podcast platforms of the same name for TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Of course, if you didn't hear what you liked, that's okay. Just tell us why and we can take a look at that. Maybe we like Expedition 33 too much. I don't know. But I don't know. That's a bad thing. So, anyway. Feedback's always welcome and all that kind of stuff. So anything you did or didn't like or whatever, let us know and we can talk about it and that kind of stuff. Of course, if you want to support more of the work that we do, you can head to the same place I've just mentioned to listen to more stuff of what we've made. Word of mouth, social media. You can tell other people about our content. And of course, if they mention something we've podcasted on, please tell them about that podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. There is a Geek Town Radio episode out right now, so you can go from here to there, go from your game news to your TV and your film news, and get the latest on all of that. So check out all that. And then YouTube, Entertainment Talk Players. I've got a couple of Metal Gear clips to put up and some other bits and bobs, so just check out the random stuff on there. That is Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.